women have got a lot of things to talk about. We are detailed creatures, so we have a lot of things to study. But there is one very specific part to their life which is very, very important, and that's about marriage. Like, as in, you know, marriage is not just a cliff or a bridge that you can hastily jump off of it. And it has got to be based on knowledge, based on maturity, based on thinking. And I'm sure there are a lot of factors out there, as in Islamic perspective, to go on and focus on them and highlight them for all the ladies out there who are on the verge of getting married or just they're thinking about it. From an Islamic perspective, let's talk on what are the factors of a perfect marriage.
You know, first of all, let me start by mentioning this issue that in not considering given Islamic context, we have too many stereotypes about women regarding marriage. Like, we can start by mentioning that sometimes the fact that women need to be knowledgeable enough, women need to have their voice up when it comes to marriage. These kinds of facts are just being taken for granted, and nobody cares about these issues. And first of all, and I guess first and foremost, we should mention that women are supposed to know before, like, they should be educated enough, they should be able to talk, like, they should be able to have their opinions straight. And then we can also talk about the factors that the factors are kind of two-sided. They are related to both men and women. But I still believe that first and foremost, we should know, we should notify women that they are supposed to be educated. They are supposed to have their voice up, because sometimes the stereotypes that are neither Islamic nor even humanistic, these stereotypes are kind of hurting women in the society.
What kind of education you mean? Because just as you bring in that up, maybe a lot of other details are going to pop up in our brain. So let's go for a short break, and then we'd come back to see what kind of education do we have, do we need to have as women before marriage? Yes, to marry is actually to get into too much of details, and you have to focus on different aspects of your personal and social life. So, this is Muslim Ladies. Welcome back. Sister Nahid and I were talking about the factors that are actually so important for women to focus upon before marriage. It's not just for women, it's for both men and women, but since we're talking about ladies, so it's naturally pretty obvious that we're going to focus on their own important ideas and issues. So what kind of education were we talking about?
The thing that I'm talking about is that it's very sad that even these days in a modern society, in a society at which people are just improving and they are not having those traditional, old, sometimes wrong views, we still have some families, some traditional families who are kind of limiting women and girls from being educated enough for different aspects of their own life. I'm not talking about, like, education and going to university, working this stuff, because there are a whole different issue that can be mentioned. But I'm rather talking about the fact that women and girls should be educated about marriage. They should know what they are going to go through. They should know about the big decision they're going to make, because that decision is going to kind of change their whole life.
Of course, it's a drastic change, and they must be very much prepared for it. And for the kind of education that you were talking about, yes, you're very right. I guess whenever I just come to think about marriage, as in generally speaking, I would come to this point that marriage is just like getting into too much of issues. Like, you're going to enter a world that previously you never thought of, because when you're on your own, things are pretty much different. So I think marriage is mostly based on mutual relationship, like a mutual understanding.
Girls and women should know, should have the information, and shouldn't, like, these days in some societies, we are monitoring a lot of divorce rate, which
of
is
course,
not a good thing.
And maybe, and unfortunately, let me just add this point, most of them are educated people.
Yeah.
Like, they are well-educated, they're coming from well-bred families, like...
you know what I see in these situations is that that girl or that woman is educated enough based on the academic studies, but even that person is not knowledgeable enough about marriage, like about the thing that is going to happen to them.
Psychologically speaking, we have to come to an understanding of the opposite gender.
Definitely.
Like, you have to understand their own mentality, not just looking in your own perspective.
Exactly. It's actually like getting out of your own comfort zone, getting out of your own brain and trying to put yourself in someone else's shoes, and then look at life and see if you're going to be compatible with that person.
And not just everyone, you know. This other gender has got a lot to share. Like, I mean, you have to know a lot about them. It's not like, okay, see, for women to understand each other, it's pretty much easy because we know how we think, how we look at things, but to think in a place of a man, that's pretty much different. Like, you need to go for education. And with education, I mean the study and the maturity about how they're going to look at life. And to do that, you actually have to read books. You have to... I don't think at universities they would teach you such a stuff.
No, not universities, but we can just... we can have some classes, some special classes. Mm-hmm. We do have some classes before marriage, like marriage preparation classes.
Exactly.
But they are very rare, and people are not supposed... Like, they're not obligatory. They're optional, and a lot of...
And
it's very
everybody
sad.
Skips them.
Exactly. A lot of couples just skip these classes.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. We still are just getting into the topic. So as you can see, just we open up this box of worms, there comes a lot of issues related to it. So this is just maybe the introduction. Let's go for another break, and then we'll be back for the wrapping up part. Like, we're going to give the gist of whatever we've been through. Thank you for staying with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So, yes, this is the last part of today's episode. Thank you for being with us. This is Muslim Lady, and we're actually talking about marriage and the important factors to think about, to emphasize, to focus upon, just as you are about to enter this new world from, of course, an Islamic perspective.
We have too many hadith, and we have too many narrations, and even verses of Quran that are mentioning the fact that both the man and the woman are supposed to be compatible. In our own Iranian culture, we say that like the girl and the boy should match each other, or they should complete each other.
Yeah.
And I guess this really matters. It's not something that we can just say and don't think about it, but rather we are supposed to think, like, is that person, is that partner supposed to
my
complete
other
me?
Part?
Exactly. Is that
is
person
he or
going to
she
my soulmate?
The other half of me? Exactly. Are they going to be my alter ego?
And it's really important. Like, they should be from the same walk of life. Like, they are going to be completing each other.
Birds of the same feather.
Exactly. And if it's not happening, I guess the life is not going to be successful. They're not going to have a good life, because if two people are just from two different worlds, how can you put them next to each other and ask them to live forever? And this kinds of life, I don't guess it's going to happen. Like, how can we put two people from two different social classes even?
You know, the way you even define things must come together. I don't mean that people must be just alike, because sometimes your other half is going to be exactly the reverse of you in order to complete you. and they're going to be perfect matches.
Yeah,
so
it's not possible to have two people just like each other.
Exactly,
but at least
yeah.
we can have them like being in the same way of life, like having the same goals or similar goals. Like
exactly.
it shouldn't be like if one partner wants to, I don't know, immigrate and the other one is just devoted to the country and wants to stay. So these two people
yeah.
don't share any common goals to start a life with.
Exactly. Yeah, these are very important. Like it's about how you define life, how you set your goals, and actually there are a lot more of details, and it's both interesting and sort of scary.
Yeah, sure. It gets scary at the point at which like young people are not thinking about this sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now we can see that a lot of young girls are just not most of them, but a lot of them are just waiting for a rich man who can come and just marry.
Come on.
But, yeah.
And it's the same for
at the
boys
same time
as well.
Boys. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They also
boys.
Are waiting
exactly.
for this dreamy
for a girl
doll
who has her own work.
She must be a doll.
Exactly.
And at the same time, she must be rich.
Yeah.
They don't have to do anything.
So beautiful, I
yeah.
don't know, rich, with
yeah.
a good family.
A princess. A princess with all the privileges,
yeah, and
they
sad.
Do nothing.
Yeah, and that is so sad.
So sad, unfortunately.
Our young generation mm-hmm. are not just, they're not working for themselves. They're
exactly.
sometimes waiting for the opposite sex to come and change their life.
But life is not about that. I mean, marriage
no.
is way more beyond that. It's not like as simple as that, as superficial as that.
Yeah.
It's not about the material world. It's about two souls completing each other. Well, if I want to wrap up what we were just saying, we just went through the introduction part of marriage, of the important factors to get into a perfect and healthy marriage from an Islamic perspective. Of course, there's a lot to it, and this episode is not going to cover it up. The highlights of today's episode, if I want to mention, are the awareness that girls must have, since we're talking about ladies. And this awareness does not come out of nowhere haphazardly. No, you have to educate yourself for it. You have to go through a lot of study. You have to think. And this thinking process is not an easy thing to happen. And after that, when we start to count the factors of a perfect marriage, we come to this point that compatibility is one of the major and the most crucial part of a decision towards marriage. Like, the person you're going to pick must be compatible to the way you think, to the way you're going to define your future and set your goals for the upcoming future. So I hope you enjoyed it. This was all for today's episode. Thank you for staying with us. Until another session, I just bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
In Gaza, many healthcare facilities have been decimated by the Zionist regime's attacks or evacuated, while a few remain open but severely limited in the care and services they offer. Israeli regime forces have repeatedly laid siege to hospital facilities, killing hundreds of medical workers and kidnapping scores of others, despite thousands of internally displaced Palestinians sheltering in the healthcare complexes. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, "It took 9 hours before Shahinaz al-Attar began her dialysis session. She had left the tent, where she is staying in Rafah, southern Gaza, at 8 a.m. After arriving at Abu Yusuf al-Najjar, a hospital in the city, she had to sit in an uncomfortable chair and wait. Shahinaz, 27, was uprooted from Beit Lahia in northern Gaza during the early stages of the current war. She first went to Ashifa, Gaza's largest hospital, but had to evacuate when the Zionist regime attacked. Israel's violence was so extreme that the hospital could no longer function. Following the attack on Ashifa Hospital, Shahinaz moved to a school run by the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, UNRWA, in the southern city of Khan Yunis. She was able to receive dialysis in Nasser Medical Complex initially. That hospital, also located in Khan Yunis, was later besieged by the Zionist regime's forces with catastrophic effects for its patients. As a result, Shahinaz is now having treatment for her kidney complaint in Rafah." Shahinaz said, "Before the war, I used to have dialysis 3 times a week. Each session would last for 4 hours. When we were displaced to Ashifa Hospital, the sessions were reduced to 3 hours. Because the health service in Gaza is under the severest strain imaginable, Shahinaz can now only have 2 dialysis sessions of 2 hours per week. Shahinaz is accompanied by her father when she visits the hospital for dialysis. Getting there from her tent is an ordeal. It often takes an hour before they can find someone who will drive them there. On occasions, she has traveled in an overcrowded truck, a cart pulled by an animal, or in a tuk-tuk. Abu Yusuf al-Najjar Hospital has less than 20 dialysis machines. Before the current genocidal war, it treated just over 100 kidney patients. That number has risen sevenfold. The heavy demand for the dialysis machines means that patients have to endure lengthy waits before one becomes free. Most of the medicines and patients need are not available or very scarce. Shahinaz only has canned food to eat, which is totally unsuitable for kidney patients. She struggles to find clean water." She said, "I have no hope that I can stay alive. I'm very tired and I feel that if I don't die because of the bombing, I will die from illness." Middle East Monitor also wrote, "The Secretary General of Doctors Without Borders said they have been witnessing the systematic destruction of health services in the Gaza Strip since October 7, 2023. Talking to Anadolu Agency on the latest situation in Gaza under Israel's brutal bombing campaign, Christopher Lockyer said, "There is a catastrophe across Gaza. We are particularly concerned about the situation in the north of Gaza, where we have almost no access." He added that MSF is incredibly worried about what will happen if the Zionist regime launches a ground attack on Rafah in the south of Gaza, where 1.5 million people are currently taking refuge. "The bombing campaign has brought with it the systematic destruction of health services in the Gaza Strip," he explained, emphasizing that medical teams have been compelled to shift between hospitals due to evacuations. highlighting the challenging nature of treating patients with injuries that necessitates high-quality medical care, he said. It's extremely difficult, even impossible, to provide this level of care to patients in Gaza right now. Lockyer added, "We genuinely seek access to provide treatment and support to the people in the northern region of Gaza. Aerial aid and the construction of a temporary port will not solve the situation in Gaza," adding that he was worried that the images of airdrops of aid distract from the situation on the ground and emphasizing the need for a political solution. He stated, "Healthcare workers must not endure intimidation or fear of indiscriminate bombing before they can deliver healthcare and humanitarian aid. For meaningful humanitarian assistance in Gaza, we require far more access, resources, and security." He added, "We fear that hunger is being used as a weapon of war with this blockade. Our staff members report starvation and malnutrition affecting them and their families."
Welcome to Israel Watch. On this episode, we will go over Netanyahu's criticism of the West's position after the German Chancellor's visit to Tel Aviv and the refusal of the tribes in Gaza to the United Nations request to distribute aid. We'll also touch upon the internal Zionist disputes. Regarding these topics, I welcome Professor Hadi Kobayesi, Director of the Al-Ittihad Research and Development Center. My warm welcome, dear Professor. The United States is more enthusiastic about the truce and the captives exchange deal because it will also withdraw on the Yemeni front, which is what Biden needs in the heat of the presidential elections he is running. Professor Hadi Kobayesi, what do you think of the articles of the negotiations in Doha, Qatar, and what the Hebrew media mentioned about the American goals of this truce and the exchange deal? That is, calm on the Gaza and Yemen fronts, as Biden needs it in the upcoming presidential elections.
We prefer to deal with American and Israeli statements with great caution, based on the experience of the past 5 months. It is clear that there is great manipulation in the distribution of roles, and there are varying and contradictory statements from official spokesmen and media professionals. I mean, a few days ago, there was talk about the Security Council session. The American presented a paper for an immediate and permanent ceasefire. The session took place a few days ago. What happened to the discussion? The discussion was limited only to Yemen and the condemnation of what Yemen is doing. Yesterday, there was a call between Biden and Netanyahu. Netanyahu said that in the call, I talked about the continuation of the war, entering Rafah, achieving goals, and eliminating Hamas. There was no American statement explaining what happened in this call. Yes, we have a distribution of roles between two parties, and we must be careful in evaluating each movement. We are approaching the elections in the U.S., and therefore the Americans need an image, calm, but at the same time, the American image must have two components, an Israeli victory and an image of some peace, normalization, humanitarian aid, and truce. Biden cannot have the absence of unity in these two forms because he needs AIPAC. He needs the support of the Israeli lobby. And he needs the votes of Muslims. And he's trying to get this needle out of this haystack. He's trying to support the Israelis to an extent and at the same time, humanitarian aids. If we noticed this last month, for example, under the roof of this slogan, under the policy that the U.S. follows, with all the aid that intervened, Israel committed massacres, about 50 massacres, and the Americans didn't talk about it. Biden did not comment. He did not comment. I mean, he sends aid by air or by sea while there are daily massacres, but he does not have a permit, and therefore there is such a coordination between him and the Israelis. It means he sends aid, but the Israelis prevent them. Biden would say, I did what I had to do for my American voters, but I did not do anything that would embarrass the Israelis in front of the Jewish voters or in front of the Israeli lobby.
Let us turn to Smotrich, who strongly opposes any captives exchange deal with Hamas and sees this as a threat to the captives. The attack on Rafah will be scheduled after knowing the outcome of the negotiations in Doha, and as soon as the occupation army begins transporting the displaced Palestinians from there, the enemy will begin the opposite of this attack. Professor Hadi Kobayesi, Israel links the attack on Rafah to the fate of the Doha negotiations and Smotrich's position of basically refusing to negotiate with Hamas.
Smotrich and Ben-Gavir do not have a change in position or a political process in thinking. One position from the first road to the last road, regardless of the results, the effects, the repercussions of relations with the Americans, and the situation on the ground.
Even Ben-Gavir called for the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh instead of going to the Doha negotiations.
The movement is disconnected from political reality. It has goals that it sets, and by following them, it comes to the results and the possibility of achieving the goals, their outcomes, and their repercussions. What about Rafah? But this movement is being used by Netanyahu to say that I have a movement that I don't know what I want to do with it, and I have to sponsor it in front of the Americans, in front of the liberals, Gantz and others, and also in front of the Palestinian negotiator, because they use this scarecrow. As for Rafah, we will see the negotiations, and I believe that according to the scenario I mentioned at the beginning, the war is continuing. And when Biden spoke, when he attacked Netanyahu with the same speech, he said two things. We will not stop the weapons, and we will not stop the war. We will not stop supplying weapons to Israel, and we will not accept stopping the war. These are frank words from him. I think this scenario is the one that works.
Let us move on to the visit of the German Chancellor to Tel Aviv, which was less sympathetic to the regime than his first visit, as he affirmed his rejection of military action in Rafah, which would lead to the starvation of the people of Gaza. After the visit of the German Chancellor and his stances, Netanyahu began to harshly criticize Western leaders because of their positions that are against starving the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
Netanyahu's statements were the subject of interaction on Israeli social media sites, and these are some of the comments.
Nedav Monk.
That is, they all say that security is stable.
Uri.
Netanyahu has been removed from our lives. You have destroyed everything. There is no security in the streets.
Ina.
The people here are also pushing for elections. The polls speak for themselves.
Donna.
Is there anything that Netanyahu did not succeed in destroying? Now also the relations with the United States? Enough has exhausted us. Leave.
Ilana.
You continue the war and do not return the kidnapped people in order to remain in power.
Fernanda.
They all want you to leave. Enough. You have destroyed Israel. You have brought the greatest disaster on it. Leave.
So, Professor Hadi Kobayesi, how do you explain this sharp criticism by Netanyahu of Western leaders after the positions of the German chancellor, which were less sympathetic to the regime than his first visit, as the Hebrew media noted?
In the West, it works on several layers and several levels. One of the levels of work and courses of action is to prepare and invest in the results of the war. It comes as a savior, as an assistant, as a mediator, as a manager of a peace process and a negotiation process, and to avoid all the negative effects of the war that have been a repercussion. Demonstrations in the West, security crises, expected future crises, political differences even within parties. The West, for example, France and Germany, is one of these players who was initially supportive and sent arms to Israel. They all arm Israel from behind the curtains. But on the surface, they say, we hear the people of Gaza starving, we're helping them. So that the Palestinians took to the West as a party that has credibility and legitimacy and has pure, good, positive, and humanitarian intentions, and therefore preferable to Gaza. This is according to Western thought. They say that the Palestinians sees that we come to Gaza, carry out a peace process, carry out a security movement, communicate with the tribes, communicate with the notables, and carry out political and field intervention within the Gaza Strip, so that we can achieve the goals of the war that Israel started, which is to change and modify the social and political situation inside the Gaza Strip. This path is progressing, even if the war will not end, but they have begun to prepare the image, language, discourse, positioning, and behavior to play this role inside Palestine.
In short, why does Netanyahu criticize them in this way?
It was a response to the American talk of the elections. The Americans have a collection of interests. It has a personal conflict, meaning there are personal interests between Netanyahu and Biden. Biden wants to go to the second term of presidency, and Netanyahu wants to remain in power. The problem is personal. Under the general policies of the two countries, the course of the war was underway and the whole world was happy. The basis is that we achieve the goals, eliminate the extremists, go to peace, and establish normalization. The Americans emerge as a peacemaker and thus left the Jews and Muslims and their reconciliation among themselves, and he wins at home. What happened is the delay in achieving the goals, and it has become a problem. Achieving the goals has not yet happened, and the time is running out because the American elections are getting close, and thus the Americans are taking action. They want to hold Israel, which has failed to achieve the goals, including Netanyahu. Netanyahu is the one who bears responsibility for the lack of electoral votes for Biden, and Biden holds him responsible.
Let us remain with the United States, as it's in a desperate situation. No one gives it any weight, not in the regime, not even in Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran. One of the most important achievements of Commander Yahya Sinwar is that he succeeded in creating a rift between the Israeli regime and the United States. Professor Hadi Kubayesi, what do you think of the words of this Zionist analyst who describes leader Sinwar as a wonder who succeeded in creating a rift between the regime and the U.S., which seemed to be in a situation where no one gave it any weight, according to Af Aitiam, the former Zionist minister?
Of course, there is a little bit of exaggeration in his words, or a provocation for the Americans who changed the way they deal with the Israelis. He even goes beyond the electoral issue and deals with it as an issue for the regime. I mean, if it was an issue related to the regime of Israel only, I believe that they would not have any problem. If Biden only takes into account the American strategic political considerations and its interests in the region, he will clearly go with them in the war. But as a result of the elections issue, they're demanding the U.S. go beyond the elections and treat them as a state. One of Netanyahu's main advisors is the one who incited him to carry out the ground operation and continue the war. And his words are clear. He portrays the Americans, as well as Abramovich, as people who are against Israel and are putting pressure on Israel and are silent about it, while the other parties are waging a war against Yemen. They're waging a war as well, and they have carried out strikes in Iraq and Syria and are arming the Israelis day and night. But they, the Israelis, are saying, "You are our enemies. You're fighting us in time. We must be friends." This is Jewish talk. Jewish grievance is their adopted method, exaggerating grievances in an illogical and unrealistic way.
I mean, Professor Kubayesi, Mohammed Dahlan's plan is clear as if it is an Israeli-American plan par excellence. What is the purpose of publishing such plans at this time in the Hebrew media? And basically, do you think they are correct?
It may be realistic, but it is a dreamy initiative. I mean, if the war goals raised by Netanyahu were achieved in the event of eliminating Hamas, there would be a possibility. But we should refer to the analyses, and not only the analyses. What does the annual threats report of the American Intelligence Council say? It says that in the coming years, the Israeli forces will try and struggle to dismantle Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And Hamas has proved that it will rebuild its strength and pose a threat to the Israelis outside the Gaza Strip during the next 5 or 6 years. We're completely far from this proposal, meaning the reality on the ground. I cite the American statement or the official American analysis, which is an official document of the state, to say that they also acknowledge and admit to the media that they want to deal with this reality. But the reality on the ground indicates, and the events inside the Gaza Strip show, that this issue is very unrealistic.
Professor Hadi Kubaisi, what is your explanation for this insistence by the United Nations and the West on giving a role to the tribes in the issue of aid distribution without coordination with the Hamas movement?
They are establishing the political alternative. The land, society, and social infrastructure become separated from Hamas, and therefore Hamas has no role. Little by little, this land is demanding the authority of the technocrats, and we will reach it little by little, gradually. This is part of the course of the years that they are talking about, and in fact, Gantz talked about it at the beginning of the war or the first month. He said, we need 10 years. This is a path that requires cultural, social, and security adjustment, and an adjustment in the balance of power at the level of the social structure.
The tribes rejected this proposal.
Here, his explanation for the tribes' refusal is that they are afraid that Hamas will not be eliminated, and thus Hamas will rebound and react to it. But the reality is that these tribes are Hamas, and there is no difference between them.
Director of the Al Ittihad Research and Development Center, Hadi Kubaisi, thank you very much, and thank you all for your good follow-up. Greetings until we meet again. God bless you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
In the name of Allah, Salamun Alaikum, and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, which we are going to speak about getting closer to Allah.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. سجدة للجبال في ركعة في صلاة نرجو بها إلها نسعى بها لرضا يا الله يا الله عادل في قضائك يا الله يا الله واسع في عطائك
Today, Wednesday, 16th of Ramadan, 1445 of the Islamic lunar calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic solar hijri calendar, and the 27th of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we listen to chapter Yunus, verse 23.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Falamma anjahum idha hum yabghun fil ardi bighayri al haqq. Ya ayyuhan nas innama baghyukum ala anfusikum mata'al hayatid dunya thumma ilayna marji'ukum fanunabbi'ukum bima kuntum ta'malun.
But when he saves them, at once they commit injustice upon the earth without right. O mankind, your injustice is only against yourselves, being merely the enjoyment of worldly life. Then to us is your return, and we will inform you of what you used to do.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Quran advises people to know that whatever oppression they commit and whatever sort of deviation they have made from the right path, they themselves would pay its price. The only thing that they may be able to do is to enjoy the life in this world for merely a few days, and finally their eventual return will be towards Allah. It is at that time that they shall be informed of whatever they did in the world. Dua for the 16th day of the month of Ramadan.
اللهم وفقني فيه لموافقة الأبرار وجنبني فيه مرافقة الأشرار وآذني فيه برحمتك إلى دار القرار بإلهيتك يا إله العالمين.
O Allah, on this day grant me compatibility with the good. Keep me away from patching up with the evil. Lead me in it by your mercy to the permanent abode, by your Godship, O the God of the worlds.
أرجو رضاك يا
الله
أنت الرحيم يا
الله
هبني عطاك يا
الله
أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا
الله
أنت العظيم يا
الله
فيك الرجاء يا
الله
أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الله الله يا ربي يا الله
As I told you, the topic of this episode is getting closer to Allah in the month of Ramadan. The blessed month of Ramadan is a great time and beautiful time as well. We thank Allah that He's giving us another occasion to witness this blessed time in our life. This is the month of the Quran, and in this month is the night of Qadr, which is better than 1,000 months. Allah chose this month and a particular night in this month to grace humanity with his final testament, his last message, the Quran. The moment of this revelation became a sacred moment, and that time and month became an eternal time for us. Allah chose this time and he has filled it with his countless blessings. In this month, we have a greater urge and desire to do good deeds. This month, the month of Ramadan, becomes the month of virtues and blessings for us. This is the month about which the Prophet said, when the first night of Ramadan comes, the devils and rebellious jinns are put in chain and doors of hell are closed. None of them remains open. The doors of heaven are open and none of them remains closed. And a caller calls, O seeker of goodness, come forward. And O seeker of evil, desist. And Allah has many in this month who will be freed from hell.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Today we are going to talk about the journeying to Allah during the blessed month of Ramadan. Month of journeying to Allah, or Sayran ilallah. The crux of the matter is that we should be able to undertake this journey to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, during the blessed month of Ramadan. And it is indeed possible. It has been narrated from Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, that he said, sometimes after the end of Ramadan, when I would arrive in the presence of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, it was probable to me that he had become more luminous, and his way of speaking, looking, gesturing, and expressing opinions had changed from before Ramadan. For a faithful and sublime human, the period of Ramadan is such. It bestows such luminosity to him and to his heart and inner self that one can feel this in his presence and understand from his speech that he has become more luminous. This is how the servants of God are. We must make great use of this opportunity for drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The essence of the matter is to abstain from sins, performing recommended acts or mustahabat and nawafil, the prayers that are mustahab, seeking means or tawassul and praying and other activities are secondary. The essence is for a person to prevent himself from committing sins and wrongdoings. This requires piety. Piety and God-fearing are the most important, or let's say, the primary manifestations that a human being should have. This is what prevents a person from sinning. Sin prevents a person from even bringing himself to the edge of the vast sea of God's forgiveness and benefiting from it. Sin prevents us from being in the state of prayer and attention. Sin prevents us from contemplating and reconstructing ourselves.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah, be with IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Every day from IRIB English Radio.
Ya Allah, adil fi qada'ik. Ya Allah, wasi' fi 'ata'ik.
Now, how to get closer to Allah? Pure our intention. Remind yourself again and again that you are fasting in obedience to Allah. Be sincere in your intention. You want Allah to accept your fasting. The Prophet said, whosoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with faith and seeking Allah's reward, all his past sins are forgiven. The other way to become closer to Allah is avoiding everything haram. It's very easy, but difficult. Keep your body and mind very clean. Fasting is not just avoiding food and drink. Fasting is to learn how to avoid bad words and bad deeds. The Prophet said, "Whosoever does not leave bad words and bad actions, Allah does not care if he leaves his food and drink." And the other way to get closer to Allah is Quran. Fasting and revelation are interconnected. Prophet Musa fasted when he received the Torah. Prophet Isa fasted when he received the Gospel. Prophet Muhammad fasted when he received the first message of the Quran. Let us do the same thing. You must fast and spend more time with the Holy Quran.
ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد تدعو إلى الدين القويم إلى الرشاد يا إخوتي هيا بنا نسلك طريق الراشدين يا إخوتي هيا بنا نسلك طريق الذاكرين
ومضات. What do we know about the blessings of Allah in the month of Ramadan? By the way, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio. The month of Ramadan is the month of countless blessings of Allah, which are readily available to the fast observers in this holy month. The blessings therein are incompatible to any other month, and in fact, the month is second to none. The fast observers therein are considered as the guests of Allah. The nights and the days of the month of Ramadan are superior to any other nights and days. The breathing of the fast observers in this month is considered a glorification of Allah. The sleeping of the fast observers in this month is considered a worship.
We should strive to distance ourselves from sin. This is the first condition of the matter. One must prepare the ground for benefiting from the mercy, forgiveness, and spiritual bounties of Allah. And this is done by abstaining from sin. Thus, you see in Dua al-Kumail that the commander of the faithful, peace be upon him, says, "O Allah, forgive me those sins which hold back supplication." Sin prevents the acceptance of supplications. In these nights and dawns, in the noble dua of Abu Hamza, we read, "Separate me from my sin, which prevents me from adhering to your obedience. O Allah, put a distance between me and my sin, the sin that prevents me from performing my duties and makes it so that I cannot bring myself closer to you." The essence of the matter is the issue of abstaining from sin. The greatest virtue of an Islamic system and government is that it does not pollute the atmosphere with sin. In tyrannical systems, the atmosphere is polluted with sin. Even if a person wants to avoid sinning, it seems not feasible for him. And everything drives a person towards sin. In an Islamic system, it is not so. In an Islamic system, the atmosphere is not polluted with sin. Therefore, the essence of the matter is to avoid sin, and we must try. In this month of Ramadan, God willing, through practice of discussion and asceticism, to distance ourselves from sin.
May Allah accept our ibadah in the blessed month of Ramadan, and may He open for us the doors of forgiveness and blessings in this month. Thank you very much and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي.
لا إله إلا الله، الله ربي،
محمد نبي، علي إمامي.
لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio.
Coming up is the news.
The headlines: U.S.'s Israeli genocidal war on the Gaza Strip enters its 173rd day with a death toll surpassing 32,400, mostly women and children. Lebanon's Hezbollah fires a barrage of rockets at Israeli targets in response to the overnight air raid on a Lebanese medical center. Thousands of Jordanians protest against Israel, demanding the closure